This is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying discipleship training in Luke's Gospel, and this is Lesson 101, Peter's Denial, Luke 22, 54-62. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I empathize with my brother Peter, who struggled to protect himself and so betray his Lord. Teach us, Lord, as we study this. Teach us our weaknesses and teach us how to move past them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm reading from Luke 22, 54-62. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You were also one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with them, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Jesus has just been arrested by temple troops in the Garden of Gethsemane, and his disciples have fled for their lives. Peter, who cut an ear off the high priest's representative, has violently resisted, and troops try to seize a young man with Jesus' party who escapes naked into the night, his garment left in the hands of his captors. It is a fearful and dangerous night, unsafe for Jesus and his disciples. Verse 54, then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. The high priest's temple troops have accomplished the arrest, and the high priest wants a chance to interrogate the prisoner. The apostle John, who knows some of the members of the high priest's family, fills us in on some details. John 18:12-13, they bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. John's mention of the high priest that year gives us a clue about the state of the high priesthood. Rather than being selected for life as before, since Herod the Great, secular rulers have taken on themselves the prerogative of selecting the high priest who serves for a year at a time. Generally, they are selected from a small group of highly placed priestly families from the party of the Sadducees. Annas, who has been high priest from 7 to 15 A.D., holds the real power. Son-in-law Caiaphas, only the title. Only after Annas interrogates Jesus does he send him off to Caiaphas. But Luke's account doesn't focus on what is going on inside the mansion, but rather outside in the courtyard. Luke records, Peter followed at a distance, verse 54. In the word followed, Luke uses the characteristic Greek word akalutheo to follow as a disciple. The verb is in the imperfect tense, suggesting that Peter continues to follow at a distance as Jesus was marched to the high priest's house. Peter puts himself in danger because he is a disciple. He has been following Jesus for 3 years and he isn't stopping now. But that word following is qualified. The adverb translated at a distance or afar off is the Greek adverb makrothen, from far away, from a distance. Yes, he follows, but he doesn't follow up close for fear of arrest. For the moment, he is a closet disciple, afraid to disclose his true identity. Sound familiar? Not a few Christians do a good job of blending into their surroundings that their co-workers and friends may not know that they are believers for months or years. They follow, but at a distance. Verse 55, but when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. The pronouns they and them in verse 55 probably refer to the temple soldiers who have just arrested Jesus. Presumably, the elders and chief priests' officers have gone inside where the interrogation is going on. The word translated courtyard or hall is the Greek noun aule, an area open to the sky, frequently surrounded by buildings, and in some cases partially by walls, an enclosed open space, courtyard. We know from John's Gospel that the courtyard is not open to the public. Entrance is restricted by a gatekeeper, John 18:15-16. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. There in the high priest's courtyard, surrounded by temple guards, Peter sits. The verb in Luke's account is in the imperfect tense, suggesting continuing action in the past. Peter is sitting with them for some time. That in itself is a courageous act. If he is recognized as the disciple, particularly as the disciple who was drawn blood resisting them in the garden, he is likely to be arrested. It is a precarious place in which to be. Peter is courageous and bold. He wants to be near his Lord in his hour of need, but Peter is terrified also. He is in danger and knows it. And as he sits near the fire, he begins to wonder what might happen. As long shadows dance in the firelight, Peter's fears continue to grow. What if I'm recognized? How can I hide when it becomes light? What should I do if I'm identified by someone who was there? And so Peter's courage and bravado give way to fear. Each of the gospel writers tell of Peter's denial, and the accounts vary some, but let's look at the denials according to Luke's account, verses 56 to 60. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I do not know him," he said. Little later, someone else saw him, and he said, "You were one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you are talking about." The word rendered servant girl or maid is the Greek noun paidiske, a diminutive of pais, girl, and in the New Testament is always used of the slave class, female slave. The girl is looking curiously at him, and Peter can feel her stare. The phrase "looked closely" or "earnestly looked" is the Greek verb atenizo, look intently at, stare at. The girl accuses Peter, "This man was with him." Here again, the verb "was" is in the imperfect tense, meaning that Peter had been an habitual associate of Jesus. Immediately, Peter blurts out a denial. The word denied is Greek arneomai, to state that something is not true, deny, and merges into the related meaning to disclaim association with a person or event, deny, repudiate, disown. When Peter says, "I don't know him," it is expressed by the Greek verb, which can cover all kinds of knowledge, from information to understanding to intimate acquaintance. Here, it seems to be used in the sense of be intimately acquainted with or stand in close relation to. Some time elapses, and it seems like this long night will never end. Then a man accuses Peter of being one of them. This translates the Greek preposition ek in the sense of belong to someone or something. Again, Peter denies it. Along about morning, when the horizon starts to become light, another man says the same thing. "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean." Peter's hillbilly Galilean accent can't be hidden. The verb used in the man's accusation for asserted or confidently is the fairly uncommon Greek verb diaskourizomai, to be emphatic or resolute about something, insist, maintain firmly, used here and in Acts 12 and 15. In the scope of a few hours, the courageous spokesman who has promised Jesus he will go to prison and death with him is reduced to denying any relationship with the man he has followed for 3 years. He is in the vicinity of the master, following at a distance, but he has been compromised. He has been unfaithful to his closest friend. Why does the story of Peter's denial strike such a chord in us? Why can we relate so easily to Peter? Probably because each of us has in some way been false to our friendship with Christ. One, by disassociating ourselves from allegiance to Christ in the presence of belligerent unbelievers or vocal critics, sometimes by open disapproval, but too often by our silence. Two, by professing Jesus with our mouths, but excusing ourselves when we do things we know are contrary to Jesus' teachings. It is this kind of dual life that gives unbelievers the hypocrite excuse. Like David with Bathsheba, "You have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt," 2 Samuel 12:14. The Holy Spirit within us is grieved. We feel guilty so long as our conscience is not utterly calloused by repeated flagrant sin. We are shamed. And so, when we are in this condition, we are out of fellowship with God and are subject to, one, the pounding of the enemy, and two, beating ourselves up. If Satan can't destroy our faith, he tries to destroy fellowship, joy, and hope so that we live in misery, are ineffective, and are neutralized so far as furthering the kingdom of God and diminishing Satan's sphere of influence. Verses 60 to 61. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. The Greek contains a word which the King James Version translates as "immediately," the adverb parakrema, pertaining to a point in time that is immediately subsequent to an action, at once, immediately. While Peter is still mouthing his adamant denial, the rooster begins to crow, to herald the advent of morning, cock-a-doodle-doo. At that moment, Jesus is visible, turns, and makes eye contact with Peter. The word translated "looked straight at" or "looked upon" is the Greek verb emblepo, look at something directly and therefore intently, look at, gaze on. Peter is struck by the knowledge that Jesus knows what he has done. Jesus is aware. Jesus, who has predicted this very lapse. Instantly, Peter remembers. The word "remembered" is Greek hypomnesko, to recollect for oneself, remember, think of. Jesus had told him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And now it has happened, just as he said it would. The word used for disown or deny in verse 61 is slightly different than the word used in 57. Here the verb is prefixed by a preposition, ap arneomai, and means to refuse to recognize, acknowledge, deny. The result in Peter's heart is overwhelming grief. Verse 62, and he went outside and wept bitterly. He goes to the gate. It is open for him, and quietly he slips away, away from Jesus' gaze, away from the hour of shaking and sifting and temptation, away. The word translated wept is the common Greek verb kleio, to cry. Peter weeps intensely. The word bitterly is the Greek adverb pikros. The adjective pikros originally meant pointed sharp, so the word carries the idea of sharpness, pain, severity. This short scene in the high priest's courtyard offers a number of lessons for perceptive disciples. One, we must remain humble, not boastful, for the line between courage and cowardice can be a very thin line. Paul cautions us, "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall," 1 Corinthians 10:12. Two, without the spiritual preparation of prayer, we are no match for the devil's sifting. We must live in constant prayer, depending upon the Lord for strength. Three, fear and faith cannot easily coexist. When we start to give in to our fears, we become subject to the deceiver, who would undermine our faith with his lies. 4. Jesus looks upon his disciples when they fall into sin. At that moment, we see in his eyes disappointment, rebuke, and love. I've learned over the years that guilt can be a terrible taskmaster, but guilt itself cannot help us conquer sin. Guilt is the burglar alarm of our conscience, and while it can ring incessantly, it cannot heal. Only the love of Jesus for us and our love for Jesus can heal us. A desire not to disappoint him and let him down is far stronger than the fear of guilt. That is what the Apostle Paul meant when he said, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear," because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love, 1 John 4:18. As Jesus looks at Peter, he sees afresh the necessity of the cross that lies before him. His love determines to redeem from sin the Peters among his worldwide band of disciples. By forgiving our offenses, taking our penalty, healing our sin-damaged souls, and restoring us to fellowship with God. Jesus looks at Peter and knows that his life's work lies just ahead. His hour has come. Let's pray. Father, I look at Peter and see myself, how I have failed you, how I have disappointed you, how I have grieved you, not just once, but again and again. Thank you for the costly cross. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your love for me and for the whole world. Thank you for Jesus. In his holy and precious name, I pray. Amen.